Well, I don't know about your family, but we stuffed the turkey, then we stuffed ourselves. We actually had it done on time, which is kind of a minor miracle in our house. Anybody have a turducken this year? Boy, that was a big fad a few years ago, wasn't it? But nobody had one. What about the deep-fried turkey? Anybody have a deep-fried turkey this year? Okay, a couple of people did, yeah. It's amazing how those kind of fads just kind of come and go, but there are some staples that come all the way through, you know, that just turkey dressing. How many people have pumpkin pie at your house? See, everybody, you know, they're constants, aren't they? Pecan pie? Yeah, we had a pecan pie too. How many of you had a pecan pie but did not buy your pecans locally? Got them from Safeway or Fry's instead of, you know. Yeah, that's kind of us too. They're a little expensive at the store, you know. FICO's a little more proud of them than we are, I think. So. In Texas, yeah. Yeah. But one of the questions that comes is what happens after the celebration? The Sunday before Thanksgiving has been our traditional church Thanksgiving celebration for several years now. And good attendance, great food, just awesome food here last week. But good fellowship, a good time, enjoyable time. I can always tell by how long folks stick around and just visit. You know, when nobody's happy, they always leave real early. But when it's, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:30 before folks leave, I know, you know, we enjoyed our time. It was good to be together. But always questions about what happens afterwards and where do we go from there. And so I want to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And one of the shorter passages I preached on, only one slide's worth. It says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Several years ago, we were doing a regular service down at one of the local nursing homes, and we're there, you know, regularly every other week for several years. Nita was a big help in that. And we walked in there the Sunday before Christmas. And another great big huge church group was coming out because they came in there one Sunday a year to do Christmas carols. And I may have made, maybe not quite under my breath enough, a comment about, you know, the once a year Christmas frivolity versus the week in, week out, you know, ongoing service. Because it was not under my breath enough, it was heard. And so the next morning, I get a phone call. Phone calls on Mondays are always interesting for me, you know. I can always start them out. What did I say now? You know, so we had a conversation and about the difference between doing something once a year and doing something all the time. And it was an interesting conversation. I don't believe we've had a conversation since. That was kind of, you know, the type of those kind of conversations go. But that's one of the things about holiday celebrations is that for so many people, it's just a once-a-year kind of thing. And so I want to look at what he says in these two verses about continuing on with that whole idea of thanksgiving. He says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. through Him, through Jesus, as Christians, we have made a commitment of our lives to our Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. And that colors and covers everything we do. That informs and directs everything we do. It's directed by the cross of Christ. Jesus said things like, take up your cross and come follow me. He said things like, following him, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's that idea of, we made a commitment of our lives that in everything we would do, it would reflect and mirror and portray the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he said, through him, because of Jesus, to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, it's easy to praise God when you're standing in the church and there's enough turkey and dressing in the kitchen to feed half of Sarita, and we're going to sit there and eat until we can't eat anymore. And it's amazingly easy to be grateful and full of praise when we're in that situation. But when we're living in the midst of mediocrity, it's somewhat harder to share praise when we're just getting by, when we're just making do, when we're just going through the motions. And it's a real sacrifice when we're hurting, when things are not going well, when we've been betrayed, when we've been forsaken. But here's what he says. Because of him, through him, offer a continual sacrifice of praise. In other words, do without stuff so I can praise. Well, what kind of stuff you got to do without? Well, look at the things that hinder praise and put those aside and choose to praise. A continual sacrifice. An ongoing choice and decision to put praise over and above other things. Had a family going to the church once where they walked in the door and one of our leadership, without thinking too much, said, and what's your family crisis of the week this week? And it kind of was a flippant remark, but boy, there's a lot of truth in it. Because that particular family, if they didn't have one, they would invent a new crisis for the week to engender sympathy among the church folks. And for church folks are sympathetic folks, and they will help out in most situations. And it was just kind of funny watching the head of that family hear that comment and realize the rest of us could see through their creation of new crises every week. It's one thing if it's real. It's another thing if it's cosmetically enhanced. Continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Even if my life is bad, God is good. And I can praise God for His goodness in the midst of my badness. But sometimes I got to work at it. That's where the sacrifice part comes in. And then he says, give thanks to His name And he uses an interesting phrase there. The fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. The fruit or the production of the lips. You know, everybody's got a pair of lips. Nobody really likes looking at anybody else's. They're just kind of there. But they do stuff. You know. You ever held a baby? They do stuff with their lips. Stick stuff in them. Slobber all over them. Babies do stuff with their lips. You watch a little kid? Little kids do all kinds of stuff with their lips. It's a great VeggieTales song about lips. When it's cold outside, some other little kid challenges them to get their lips stuck to a metal pole. That's not a real problem here in Arizona. But growing up in Albuquerque, there was always somebody on a cold morning would try and encourage you to lick the metal fence post just to see what would happen. Yeah. If you have older brothers, that kind of stuff happens a lot. So, you know, but as adults, we use a lot of words. And he says, let the fruit of the lips be thanksgiving. So the question comes in, are we talking to ourselves? Now, there are people that talk to themselves. Some people are pretty good at it. Occasionally been accused of it myself. Sometimes at home, I'm having all kinds of conversations with myself because I think someone else is listening. But then you find out they've left the room and they haven't paid any attention to you for 30 minutes. And you're still talking. Oh, were you saying something? No, not at all. But let the fruit of our lips offer thanks to God, to give thanks to His name. It is a verbal declaration of appreciation to God for what we have. I saw a little Christian sketch one time where the family comes in and sits down for the meal. And kids and mom and dad, and they sit around the table. And they join hands, and the dad starts to pray. And the kids were talking a little bit while the dad was praying, and so he stops the prayer and gets very fatherly with them. We're talking to God. You have to let us talk to God. You must be quiet while I'm talking to God. And he goes off on a rant about how important it is to talk to God. And then he starts a prayer, thanking God for His munificent blessings, whatever that means. And a bunch of other words that the little kids didn't understand. And then as soon as he says amen, they start digging in. And then dad starts up, complaining about the beans being cold, complaining about the soup being spiced too hot, complaining about the vegetables being the wrong ones, and just laid into that poor wife for all kinds of things going wrong. And the kicker on the end of the skit was when the little kid looks up at dad and says, Dad, I thought you just thanked God for the food. Why are you giving mom such a hard time about it? You see, every time we use our mouth, God says to use it to give thanks to His name. And every time we just have that crying need to tell somebody how bad it is, that's what we sacrifice to give thanks to God. And so we let go of that need to verbalize our displeasure with the way the universe works. And we choose to be grateful to God for what good things we do have. And then he says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. In other words, doing good and sharing can be neglected. You ever had anything around your house that got neglected? Guys, you got a honey-do list that's been neglected? Don't ask your wife. Ladies, if you got a project that's been going on for years and you've hidden away so you don't have to look at it anymore. See, doing good and sharing can easily be neglected in favor of other things. I want you to try something. Next time you finished your prayer time and you're just kind of sitting there wondering what to do, I want you to take a piece of paper and make a list of all the good things in your neighborhood, in your house, in your church that you really can do. Okay? Now, if you put stuff like feed all the hungry children, then we both know you're lying. Because we can't feed all the hungry children, because unless you got a lot more resources than I know about, you know, we can feed some of them. We can't feed all of them. Make a list of the stuff you really can do. See, there's some things that all of us can do. All of us can pray for our neighbors by name. At least some of your neighbors, you know their names. You may not like them. You may not enjoy their company. You may just as soon not ever see them again. If you're in some of our neighborhoods, you hope you never see them again. But you can still pray for them by name. And the ones you like the least are the ones that need it the most. And that's some good that you can do. You can loan things or give things away, and with some of your neighbors, that's the same thing. But you know, you can share some things. Sometimes I think we give away 3/4 of our houses and still not get to the stuff we use every day. We can share. We can give things away. Not allow it to be taken, not allow it to be stolen, not allow someone to harm us, but choose to give away. One of the things Mom did when we were growing up was that a couple of times a year, and this time of year was one of them, was we would sit down and go through all of our clothes. Okay? And a lot of people do that. And then as we went through all of our clothes, but Mom would have us sit there while she went through hers and while we went through ours. And then we box up the ones that we weren't wearing anymore. And a lot of folks would just kind of, you know, shift that somewhere else. No, Mom chose who they were going to, and she would have us go with her to take them to us. There's a family in the church that had two boys, 2 years and 4 years younger than me, and good friends of my mom. And so twice a year, we would box up the clothes, and we would take it to that particular family. And to those boys, it was like Christmas all over again, because they were getting new clothes. Now, you have to understand, I was the third son. There are literally clothes that our neighbors, the Halls, Jimmy and Pat had outgrown. My two old brothers had outgrown, and now I had outgrown. And they had literally watched 5 or 6 guys in our neighborhood wear those clothes. But still decent, normal clothes. And we'd take them to the family, and Mom would have us be a part of that kind of giving away. And there's so much more involved when you actually are involved with that. So that's when Sandra and I had the kids small. Sandra is always developing networks of who's got whose clothes after they outgrew them. And Sandra can find a home for anything. Isn't that right, Alan? So, you know, she'd be given stuff, and in a few days, she's made a few phone calls, and three or four different schools, and she tells me where to take it. And I take it where she tells me to. And there's just that sense. Those are things all of us can do. But it has to be intentional, because if we don't make it intentional, it'll get neglected. And so he says, don't neglect doing good and sharing. So there's stuff you can share. There's things you can do. Some of the ones here that are healthier and have a little more energy can do more than some of those who are slowing down a little bit because your quick days are behind you. But you can do what you can do. And I challenge you, make a list of the things that you can do. Don't have to show it to anybody. Don't have to share it with anyone if you don't want to. But then start checking things off that list after you do them. Sometimes those things are figure out something, find out information, and then it's going to meet a need. So what are you going to do to not neglect doing good and sharing? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You have within you the ability and the authority to please God by what you say and by what you do and by what you do without. We as God's people can make a choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my life, I will please the Lord. As for me and my stuff, I will share with God's people. You can make a choice that keeps on going and makes it continual. Let's pray. Father, use us to make a very real difference. Use us to care for our family and our friends and our neighbors. Help us, Father, to not neglect what you want us to do, but to seriously make efforts to do good and share. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.